So we're going to go through Ephesians chapter 4 this week.
Okay.
You'll have to do two next week. No big deal. Okay. No pressure in this class, okay? You know, we're not going to kick anybody out for not doing their stuff because I may have to step out. So, because, you know, sometimes I'm in the very last minute. I asked other pastors here, I said, do you guys ever critique your teaching, your preaching, you know, but right up to the moment you get in the car to come here? And most of them say, yes. That's why Brian and I are in the church office a lot of times in the morning making copies at the same time because we didn't get them done during the week. So we're here. So it's all of us. Okay. So if it's not just the pastors do it, you guys probably in the same boat. Maybe you were working on yours this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know. Maybe you're going to work on it during meth. During I'm talking. I don't care. Okay, here's the deal.
You could be quiet. I can't concentrate.
Roger's back there writing. Okay, so let's look at chapter 4. Let me read through it. And then we're going to look at some of the things we've done, like what is the outline, what is the key word, the key phrase, the key verse. I even put in the goal for the chapter for me today because I'm like, I don't know about you. Like you said, writing it out's getting easy. Okay, that's no big deal for me. I can write it out. I'm getting pretty quick at it. You know, about 3 minutes. No, it takes me time, but it's like. It's at first I'm starting out, I'm like writing one little word, looking up, just writing it down, looking at one little word, writing it down. Oh my gosh, that took forever. So that's why I said do it in phrases, do it in sections. Not only does it help you get that thought in your head, it helps speed up the process. Okay, so that's just my tip for today. Free of charge. I'm not going to charge you for that. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? You've heard that somewhere? That you walk worthy, this is one of the verses that I use for the name of this class, of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. Now that is a big statement. Let me say this. What did I used to say when I would teach this class when Jim Boyette was here? I would say, this is the advanced class. And I said, and I mean advanced because of your Bible knowledge, not because you're older. Kinda.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
But, I mean, we need to, you know, this is what we need to be doing. And it says, walk worthy of the vocation where you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity. Because let me stop, that's where I forgot where I was at. It's a big thing, keeping unity in our church. So there's always people that's not happy about things. I'll just throw a name out. Brian Parrott was never happy about stuff in our church, and he wanted to blast this on the internet. That is, and if you're a member, that is not a place to talk about what's going on, because that causes disunity in our church. Mm-hmm. So all of us need to know that. Okay, what? He was at one time. But all of us need to do that. It's like, we need to have this statement. It's like, if the words come out of my mouth do not help unify our church, then they probably shouldn't come out. Okay? Carrie's grandmother had a phrase that she used to teach all the grandkids. She goes, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Well, that's good advice. I'm sorry to say I don't take that advice a lot, because a lot of times I think I know everything and I just blurt my mouth out. Okay? And that's not good. Keeping the unity of what's going on in the church is a huge thing that we need to, and we can all do that by going through the list. Okay, so let's look. How do you do that? It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And now we have some parentheses. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He also descended that, let me back up. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Into parentheses, and it's kind of like, why did he stick that in there? Probably the answer to somebody's question that they've been having a question about for 5 years in their life, and all of a sudden you're reading your Bible and you go, oh, now I understand why. Had very little to do with what was going on here, but he just gave us some extra information and knowledge. Okay, so pick up on that when you get it. Okay. Because in the middle of this, he puts them in parentheses, this information that has a little bit to do with what he's talking about, really, but it gives us some more information that can help us in general. Okay? So he says, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So let me just stop for a minute. So you're like, okay, so I'm reading this, and I get teachers, I get pastors, I get evangelists. Where's the prophets and the apostles coming at? Because we don't have those today.
Jesus transcends time.
Okay, so that's basically crossing dispensations with this note here. Because if you're sitting there and you're like, well, how's that fit? Well, it fits if you go back to the beginning of Genesis, because he gave prophets. And when Christ was here, he gave some apostles. And then he gave some evangelists. But then now that's kind of hitting more New Testament, the age of grace. And he's given some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So God has always given men to help men out while he's been on this earth. Okay? And in verse 13 it says, let me back up. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay? Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity, there's that word unity again, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. So again, through all this chapter, every once in a while I'll stop. I can't just be quiet. We're seeing the church in this whole book. And we'll just sit piece by piece as we go through. Okay? And there again, it's a little spot. Till, let me see where did I stop at.
16.
Okay, 16. From whom the whole body, the church, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Oh, that's quite a verse. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye may put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. There's that unity, there's the church coming out again. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed into the day of redemption. Now, how many of you have used that verse? That you are sealed into the day of redemption. I mean, I've used that. I've witnessed with that verse. I've done all kinds of teaching on that verse. But I basically focused on the last half of it. Need to focus on the first part of it. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Because every time he sees us do things that are wrong, it grieves him. Okay? Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now we use that verse all the time too. The problem is, there's a lot of times I don't do it. You guys are probably pretty up to snuff. There's times I bomb at this. I flat out bomb. In fact, I almost feel bad about teaching through this. I almost want to sit down and get somebody else up here, because there are just times I just flat bomb. I don't know about you. Maybe you guys are doing well. And there's times I do really well, and there's times I bomb. And then there's times when I look at other people and I'm like, man, what is wrong? See, we don't have a George in here, right? What is wrong with George? I mean, look at him. I mean, he's a schmuck. And I'm like, you know what? The things I just complained about George, I just did. And I'm like, I kind of feel like Peter with, you know, Jesus is talking to Peter. And Peter goes, man, I'm willing to die with you, Jesus. I am willing to do it. And Jesus goes, before the night's over, you'll deny me three times. And Peter's like, I don't think so. Now, that's not in the Bible. But I mean, Peter had that mentality. And yet, what did he do? He turned right around and did it. You got David, you know, and Bathsheba, and then Nathan comes to him and tells him a story about a man that has a sheep, and the rich man took it and slaughtered it and killed it and all that. And David's like, he's mad. He's like, who is this guy? Give me his name. We're hunting down and we're getting. And he goes, you're the man. And David's like, oh. I feel like that a lot. So, I mean, let me just flat tell you. I bomb at this at times.
Okay, but okay? You're sealed. Remember, you're sealed.
I know I'm sealed. So I don't want to stay there, but there's times when I like, I have this verse in the Bible that I use a lot. It's 1 John 1:9. And I'm like, why do I? It grieves me that I have to use that verse so much. I mean, how many times do I use that verse?
I think we all live there.
I know, but I mean, there's times when I'm like, it just really does hit me, and I'm like, wow, I really bombed. So I just wanted to get that off my chest, start off the beginning.
We're all aware of your faults.
All right.
Okay.
I don't want to stay there. Okay. I'm not going to stay there. Okay. So I just wanted to get that off my chest, because if you think I'm up here saying, you know, this is who I am, I'm saying this is what I want to be, not who I am. So we're going to go through a couple outlines, keywords. So first of all, does anybody have a keyword that you can give me? Paula has a keyword.
Yep.
What's your keyword, Paula?
Well, I struggled between two or three of them, but I
didn't need all that. I just need one. But no, you're right. I'm changing it. Did it change during the week?
It did. Well,
it happens.
I struggled. So.
Okay.
I settled on walk.
Walk. Okay.
Because walk, here is unity. You know, it was kind of.
That's enough. That's enough.
Was oneness.
Okay. Oneness.
Oneness.
Okay.
Mine was greed.
Grieve?
Unity.
Unity. Okay.
I put new.
New? Like N-E-W? New man? Anybody else?
Endeavor.
Endeavor? Okay, who else has something different?
The truth. I wrote it down. Talk about speaking in truth, which is, I just used the word truth.
Truth. Okay. Okay, now, let me ask you again. How many of your keywords switched during the week? Mine probably did. My keyword... Carrie, what's your keyword?
Walk.
Walk. So you already have that. Okay. Anybody else have anything different?
Roger stole mine.
He stole yours?
Sorry.
I had created.
You had created?
Created.
Created.
Okay. I can see walk is big, unity is big. At one time I had perfect on mine. Okay. Because I actually, your outline is supposed to focus toward the goal, correct? The main goal of the chapter. My goal of this chapter, and I'll just throw that out. I didn't ask people to have a goal, but the goal that I see in chapter 4 is to be the perfect man. But you got to walk to get there. And you have to have unity to get there. In fact, you've got to have oneness to get there. You've got to put on new, that you got to have truth. So a lot of these fit that. Generality, if that's the right word. Okay, so that's a key. How about a key phrase?
New life.
What's the last part, Paula?
Walking worthy.
Hey, Gary.
You looked up my paper.
That's my.
I knew where you were going. Okay, walking worthy, because that's what I have, and that's the right one. anybody else have a key phrase?
Well, mine grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, but it means disobey. Don't disobey God. To me, grieve means don't disobey.
Okay, don't grieve. I mean, what did you have? Don't grieve?
Don't disobey.
Unity of the faith.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
I had righteousness and true holiness.
Righteousness. And what?
True holiness.
True holiness. Anybody else? Okay. So, key word, key phrase. How about a key verse?
13.
Key verse is 13. Roger, you hit that one. That's what I got, so you get a star.
Well, I got 12.
12 would go with that. Okay.
I got
23. 23.
I got 24.
24.
30.
68.
Anybody have any more?
You're in the next one. I have 21.
Joe.
Three.
Okay.
21.
Sounds like something's being auctioned. I don't talk that fast. Now, when I talk, you may not understand it, but like an auctioneer. How many of you understand auctioneering? Half the time, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so, verse 13, who said that? Roger? Why is 13 your key verse?
Well, I have the chapter labeled as the unity chapter.
Okay.
I wrote that in, well, I don't know, years ago.
You did what? You wrote it where?
I wrote it in my Bible years ago.
Okay, so, see, writing stuff in your Bible will help you out with your assignments later on in life. So, because it talks about unity, and that was 13, right? And 12 goes with that, because what's 12 say, Paul? Is that what yours were?
Yeah, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Okay. All those would probably point really back to Rogers.
Well, mine came from
his. Yeah, but they still point to that. So.
The fullness of Christ is the church.
Okay.
That's the last.
I got that. So who had 23? I want to look at 23.
This is to be renewed in your spirit of your mind.
Okay.
And I just thought daily, that's like a daily thing to be renewed in your spirit.
Mm-hmm. Because that would, what was your key word?
Unity.
Unity. See, all these are somewhat fitting together because it kind of unity, and which is going to work with your walk. So, 23. Who had 24?
I did.
Okay, a couple of you had 24. And 24 says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay? That's awesome. That'll work. Verse 3, Joe had that one. What did he put 3 down?
Unity of spirit.
Okay, you got the unity of the spirit there. Okay. So that definitely would work. And then 21. Who had 21?
I did. It's being kind and tender-hearted, being completely humble, and maintaining your anger.
Mm-hmm. Is that the right verse, though, for that?
I think so.
21 says, if it be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus.
The truth is in Jesus. Yeah.
Okay. So basically it's the things we've been taught. Because the truth
in our anger, be kind and tender hearted and be completely humble.
Okay.
No.
I'm just not seeing where you're getting that in that verse. I'm not saying it's not in the chapter. I'm just not seeing it in that verse.
Because these are the things that Jesus is teaching us.
Okay. So you're focusing on the truth that Jesus has taught basically through the Gospels.
Yes.
Okay. All right. What's that?
You skipped over 30.
I skipped over. I'm sorry. So let's look at 30. What's it say?
Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. It means once you've known God and changed a new creature, then you're sealed forever.
Okay. That is a big verse, so yes. Mm-hmm. So we are sealed.
Even though we still sin,
okay.
We know we're forgiven.
Right. Again, very good verse. Okay. So, so we're kind of seeing everything kind of make, the thing with these chapters in Ephesians, it's like they go in circles. And so it blows my mind too, because I want it in order. I want point A and B and C, and I want them in order. And when I go through some of these chapters, I'm like, well, I have a point that goes in point C that's in B, and then it flips back to point B, and so I have to kind of get, I was talking to my advisor, and she goes, sometimes everything just doesn't line up, Bob. Sometimes your outline's going to bounce around a little bit. And again, it blows my mind, and it's like, okay. And so, again, all of those are good, because, and here's another thing. Your outline is going to be focused on your life in Christ and what Christ has taught you and maybe certain aspects in your life that have been key. Like you went when Deanne's keying on the sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that's going to be forever. That's huge in her life. That's huge in my life. It's huge in all of our lives. So that's an area that is just at the forefront of what you're thinking. Okay, so I see that, and everybody's will be like that. Okay, there'll be certain aspects that are hitting you different than somebody else. But, you know, as long as, like I said, you can explain it and it fits along with the chapter and the verse, that's all fine. So, okay, I'm trying not to be boring, which I know I already am, but now we're going to look at the outline. And again, my outline changed a couple times this week. It's like, again, I'm reading that. I'm like, what am I thinking of? So who has a really good outline besides Paula that wants to talk to me about? She's in the back going, ooh, ooh, ooh. What was that guy in Welcome Back, Cotter, that's always doing that?
I'm not worshiping. Okay.
You know what? That's the person I was thinking of. Whose outline they like? Joe, you got one?
I put 1-6. Unity in the body of Christ.
Okay, I'll just shorten it to unity, but I like that.
And then 7-16 is your gift of maturity.
Gift of maturity.
And then 17-32. I just put new life of Christ.
New life. Okay. That fits, because what was your key word that you had?
Unity.
Unity. Okay, so that fits right in. So we've got unity, we've got a gift of maturity, and a new life in Christ. I can see all three of those in that chapter. Okay? Who else has a good outline they like?
I don't know if I like it, but I can tell you mine.
Okay.
I have 1-3, walk-worthy.
Who can't like that one? That's just wonderful.
And then 4-6, I had 1. O-N-E.
What's that?
1. O-N-E.
O-N-E. Okay.
Like one body, one spirit, one Lord.
Oh, yeah. Okay. One. I'll just put ones. Okay.
7-8, I have gifts. 9-12, edify.
13-16, unity. 13-16 what? Unity. Unity. Okay. 17-22, old to new. Okay. All right. So you broke it down. You break things down quite pretty tight.
But that's too long.
You're a detail person, you know, so I'll break things down on one or two things, and here you are doing, and it's kind of like Brian, I'll do an email or I'll do a text. I'll spend 30 minutes on this thing and it'll be two paragraphs. Brian will do one in 3 minutes and it'll be 2.5 pages. And I'm like, how does he do that? It's kind of sickening at times. So, that's fine. You're breaking it down, because whatever it does. Anybody else have an outline? Who said it was short?
No, you, mine. It's almost like the person.
He doesn't want to hear.
Do you have one, Beverly? You want me to put
1-6 is walking.
Okay, 1-6 again is walking.
He said he might
have fallen. Okay.
7-16 is grow through spiritual gifts.
Okay.
Seventeen to 32 is walk in the new life.
Okay. So I do see a break in both of everybody so far at 6. And then we've got a 7 through 16. So those two match. And Cammie's just is a little more detailed. Okay. Anybody else have one? Okay. Junie.
We have new life when we leave the darkness, which is verse 18. Which I would just put new life.
Do you have it broke down into sections?
Yeah, new life. Verse 21, Jesus speaks truth. And then we become one with God. And then verses 5 and 6, given grace. And 4 through 15, focus on Christ.
Okay, so help me out again. You have 5 through 6. Do you have 1 through 4?
Yes.
Four chance.
Speaks truth. No, I don't have 1 through 4.
Okay.
I didn't do it like that.
Okay.
You did that.
I did it backwards.
Okay, so what do you have?
I have one with God. Wait a minute. Never mind.
I don't know what she's going to do.
Okay.
Chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 is given grace.
Okay.
And then chapter 4, 15... I just took one verse. I didn't do the whole thing.
Okay.
15 would be focus on Christ. And then verse 21 would be speak truth. And then verse 18 would be new life without darkness.
Okay, so I kind of abbreviated that. So what you need to do is just kind of keep working on that
till
you get from verse 1 to verse 32.
Just one verse and did that.
So okay. you didn't go far enough.
Okay,
but you're getting there. Okay. Because, again, we are learning through this and we are changing things. And it might, if it helped you and Richard to kind of work together and do it.
Hey, she said
it
while I was copying.
So she
early this morning. I said, I just wanted to see what you wrote down. And next thing you know, she's going, you're going to copy mine.
Are you
going to
copy mine?
Do we need to talk about unity?
Obvious.
Okay.
So it doesn't sound like we're walking worthy at all.
Like I said, a lot of times we bomb at it. So, real quickly, we got another one or two that anybody else wants to give me one.
Paula would love to give you hers, but you said you didn't want it.
Who would?
Paula.
Paula. All right, Paula, what do you have? 1 through 6. Just give me the main ones. I know you probably do.
My first one is unity, verses 1 through 6.
Okay.
My second one is knowledge / maturity, 7 through 16. And my third one is sanctity, 17 through 32.
Okay. Again, several of us are breaking them down into about 3 sections. Okay. Carrie, what do you have? I'll pick on you for a minute.
My first one is God's gifts to believers.
What verses?
1 through 16.
1 through 16?
Mm-hmm.
God's gift?
Gifts to believers. Plural.
I put in parentheses the old man. Okay, and then 23 to 32 is how to walk worthy, and in parentheses the new man.
I have the same concept.
And what was the verses on the last one?
23 to 32.
Yes. And what was the one on our old walk? 17 to 19.
17 and 19, the old man.
Okay. Do you have a 19 to 23?
20 to 22.
Not hard to do.
Just
give
that.
No, okay.
I don't think so.
You don't have it, so okay. So, all right. We need to keep working on that, don't we? It was in the car on the way here.
Still in the car.
Okay. And again, like I said, learn from other people, pull things in. You hear somebody preach a message, go, hey, you know what? Let's go put my outline over here. I mean, use whatever you can. So let me just give you mine that I have, and I've worked on it, and I switched it. So I did 1 through 16. Anybody else do 1 through 16? Yours was 1 through 16. But mine was number 1 through 16 was walking worthy.
Not a big stretch.
And this is going to be very, very scientific. 17 through 19. Walking unworthy. And then 20 to 32. How to keep walking worthy.
Nice job.
Biased on your walking
order. Okay. So let me give you a couple. Let's everybody turn over to 2 Timothy 3:16, and I'm going to wrap this up. I probably am. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We know the verse. The verses. And it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Remember I told you my word was perfect? Truly furnished unto all good works. So in that, all the Bible is given for doctrine, for teaching. It's for reproof. It shows us where we went off. Then it shows us how to correct when we went off. And then it gives us more instruction again. And so what I'm seeing that is kind of in this chapter. What we have here in this chapter is 1 through 16 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And then it goes through a list of how to do it, of what it should be, what God has given you, with all lowliness and meekness and endeavoring and all that. So that's how I'm like, 1 through 16 is basically walking worthy. This is the teaching. And then in 17 through 19, I had walking unworthy, because it says, therefore in 17, it says, and this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated. So this is not what to do. Okay, you're walking unworthy if you do that. And then when we get to verses 20 to 32, it goes back and just basically says how to keep walking worthy. Because why? Because God wrote this for me, because He knows I'm going to bomb at times. Okay? This is what instruction I've given you. This is because you bombed it. And this is how to get back on the right track and keep going. And that's why this chapter is just for me. I don't know if it fits you guys, but it says in verse 22, how do you keep on the right path? But you put on the new man and get rid of the old man. Okay. So that's what I came up with. And I'm not saying that's right. I'm saying that it's making sense to me and it's fitting my life. And so every chapter we go through, God gives us teaching. He's also given us some correction. He's keeping us how to stay on track. And so the book of Ephesians talks about the church, but it also gives instruction to the church how to walk worthy. How do you do that? Stop doing the stupid stuff we used to do and do what God wants us to do. That's the way Richard and I can... You have to hit us in the head with a 2x4. Okay. It's kind of like you tell the doctor, "Doctor, it hurts when I go like this." And what's the doctor do? Stop doing that. So it's like put off the old stuff, put on the new man, and get rolling again. So let's pray and we'll be out.
Before you close, I do have a praise. We met Bill last Sunday.
Oh, yes.
And a young man named Samuel accepted
Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Where?
How old a man is this guy?
I would say he's maybe 30.
Did he go by Samuel?
Yep. Because it was a biblical name. His mother was a Christian. And Mandy said, "My name's Samuel." And I went, "Oh, did she take that from the
Bible?" Got a great name.
He said, "Yes."
Well, hallelujah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Because it's just like church. And a lot of you guys are on the altar team. And we work with people that come forward. And you go through dry spells. And so when somebody gets saved, you know, the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice, right? We need to be rejoicing. So, hallelujah. Thank you for sharing that with me. So, do you know how many people that have been saved in the jail ministry since we've been back? Is that the first one that you know of?
There might have been, I think on the woman's side, there might have been another. I don't know exactly how many.
Okay. It seems like there was somebody else that got saved. So, the first week that you guys went in.
Yeah, the first week.
So, again, that's a good ministry to be in. You get the gospel out, and people are looking at that point.
Yeah, they're pretty hungry.
It's hard to go in and tell people in jail. You tell people in jail that they're a sinner, they don't fight you usually. You go out on the street and tell somebody they're a sinner, you get hit in the mouth because they don't believe you.
It's just like the other guy that was with him. His name was Benny. And Benny, you know, he's 40 years old now, but he murdered somebody when he was 19. So he spent 20 years in the prison, and he gets out. And first thing he does, of course, he said he goes back to his old ways, smoking pot. And he said, "Well, I decided to make meth so I can have some money." And he said, "The next thing I know, I'm right here." Yeah. So here we are.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well."
He didn't put on a new man. Number one, we don't know if he's saved, but he's still living like a Gentile.
He said he was, but...
He's not walking worthy.
I mean, okay. He wants to get out of the situation he's in, but...
But he doesn't want to fix the situation, probably. Okay. All right,
okay,
well...
So in 2 weeks, we can find...
Yes. So, so we have 2 weeks to get chapter 5 written, do the outline on that, keywords, do all that. And since you have an extra week, be thinking about how each of these chapters go together, because they will. I'll give you a little bit of info about coming up.
2 weeks Easter, and is there maybe a?
No, it's Easter in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Easter.
So we're off for 2 weeks then, aren't we?
Next week.
February 5th. So we don't have. Oh, okay.
And then Easter.
Yeah.
And then Easter.
So we have 3 weeks.
Okay. So we have 2 weeks we're going to be off. Thank you for bringing that up. I didn't quite realize that. So, again, the assignment will be the same. Do chapter 5. Do your outline. And then maybe go back and look at how all these chapters connect. What is the connecting factor to them? That would be the extras because we have an extra time period. But so we'll do that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you need some more since you're off for 3 weeks?
No. No, thank you.
I just threw that in. I'm like, okay. Always wanted to be the teacher. I never had. You know. Okay. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us. I just thank you for the book that you've given us to know, to read, to understand, because it helps us to be the perfect man if we will do it, Lord. And yet it shows us when we go wrong and when we sin, and Lord, we know that we have that you want us to have a relationship with you, and it's going to go up and down according to how we keep your commandments, Lord. But I pray that we would all have a heart to keep your commandments, to do what's right, Lord. And I pray we would all be obedient to the Holy Spirit when he reveals to us the things that we do that are not right. And I pray that we would focus and strive to be the man, to be the woman that you want us to be. And I just thank you for it. And I just thank you for these people that are on the same path as all the rest of us, and that we would be in this path in unity and in love, and love one another and help each other to get through this till we all get to the judgment seat of Christ, Lord. So I pray for that, and we just ask your guidance and your blessing all along the way. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Now she's cold.
It's
hot.
Yes.
Got cold.
Yes. I got cold. Yes. The mom is still coming for sure.
It's a long time.